Today's Shir Masech Debeya Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Chesam Beis, the bottom line of the Amud. Amar Rabba, Shachat Tzipa Me'er of Yontif, somebody shechted a bird out of Yontif. And of course, we know that when somebody shechts a bird, as we've been discussing extensively, the halach is that he has to do Kisi Adam. And he did not do the Kisi Adam before Yontif, the halach is Eim Mechais Oysa. Yontif, we may not do the Kisi Adam on Yontif. And as the Rishonim point out, even if many of the issues involved in Kisi Adam are resolved, we're using air, earth, afer, which is not muksa, still the halacha would be, says the Meiri, that since you could have done the Kisi Adam before Yontif, the only time we would allow you to do Kisi Adam on Yontif is in a case where you could not have done it before Yontif, when you only shechted the chay or the oif on Yontif. But in a case where you shechted before Yontif, you have no right to wait to do the kisui adam on Yontif. However, there are rishonim that disagree and say that Rabbah's statement is only in a case where we have to rely on one of the terim that we discussed in our previous shir, that we will be discussing in today's shir, that it isn't so obviously mutter to do the Kisui Adam. But in a case where there's absolutely no halachic issue with doing the Kisui Adam, what you're doing the Kisui Adam is being done with something that was Eifer Muchen, there's no issue, then the halacha is you could do Kisui Adam, then that Kisui Adam Rava would permit. In order to begin to understand the next piece of Gemara, we know that produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael, there's an obligation to take off Trumas HaMaisris. The halacha is that Trumas HaMaisris may not be taken off on Shabbos and Yontif. And there are two primary reasons given by the Rishonim why that is the halacha. One reason is because Nirukim Masakin, the food before you take off the produce, until you take off the Trumas HaMaisris, is Tevel. And of course we know the halacha is that one may not eat Tevel. So when you take off the Trumas HaMaisris, you make the food edible. That's considered Masakan Mona. The other reason that Rishonim suggests is because you looks like you're being magdish something. You're taking the Trumas HaMaisris have a status of Kodesh, and you're being magdish it by separating out the Trumas HaMaisris. And the halacha is, on Shabbos and Yontif, you're not allowed to be magdish. The same din applies by challah. We know that if somebody prepares a dough for challah, we have to take a dough. He has to take off challah. Of course, he has to have the large enough amount of dough. But the Torah then says, "Reishis arisay seichem challah turuma truma kasumas gairin kain turuma oisa." And before we take off the challah, just like produce before we take off the trumas and maestris are tevel, challah, before the challah is removed, is also tevel. There's a question how we look at a challah of a dough that was made in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody agrees that the challah of a dough made from flour, from produce that comes from Chutz Loretz, in Chutz Loretz is only with Rabbonin. There's a machloikis, and the reason that Chazal said we have to take off challah from a dough prepared in Chutz Loretz, from flour that's from Chutz Loretz, is Kedei Shloi Tishtakach Teres Challah. Chazal didn't want us to forget the concept of Hilchus Challah. Another reason is because even in Eretz Yisrael, places near Eretz Yisrael have a Chiyuv Challah. And but everybody does agree that if you make challah out of produce, out of flour that came from Eretz Yisrael, the chiyuv challah, even in Chutz Loretz, is a chiyuv deraisa. So, says Rabbah, Gilgal Issam Erev Yontif, if somebody prepared a dough from Erev Yontif, and there's a machloikus rishonim, what is the definition of the word Gilgal Issa? Taisa says that Gilgal Issa is as soon as you put the water into the flour. The Rambam also says that Gilgal Issa means as soon as you start mixing the dough, at that point it's already Chiyuv Challah. However, there are many Rishonim, and that's what the halacha is, that there's no Chiyuv Challah until you actually have a dough. So says the Gemara, Gilgal Issa from Erev Yontif. Somebody prepared a dough from Erev Yontif, and therefore there was already a Chiyuv to remove Challah from before Yontif. The halacha is, you can remove that challah and yantav. Even though, as we just mentioned, there is a dakonas chazal that one may not take off trumas and maisus and yantav. However, challah is different. The reason challah is different, because since if you were to make a dough on yantav, and the halacha is that you're allowed to make dough on yantav, so since under those circumstances, you're allowed to take off the challah. So therefore, Chazal were lenient that since you're allowed to, under certain circumstances, you're allowed to lechatchila take off dough on, you're allowed to take off challah on yontif, even in this case where you should have taken off the challah on yontif, the halach is that before yontif, but the average you can take it off on yontif. So of course, the achronim immediately asked question that we began today's shir, that if you shechted a bird before yontif, you may not do the kisui adam on yontif. And the question is, if we're saying that the reason by challah, we're allowed to take off the challah on yontif, even though the dough was prepared before yontif, because under certain circumstances, we're allowed to take off challah on yontif, so we should make the same argument regarding the kisui adam. If you do kisui adam on yontif, you're allowed to do under certain circumstances. You're allowed to do according to Beis Shammai almost all the time, even according to Beis Hillel, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, kisui adam on yontif. So why did Rava say that you're not allowed to do it? And because of this question, there are those that explain that, going back to the first issue we discussed in today's shiur, that when Rava said that you're not allowed to do kisui adam on yontif for a bird that was slaughtered before yontif, Rabba only meant that we're speaking about a bird, the kisui adam, that relies on a heter, that it's not l'chatchila diga kisui adam. But if you were going to use something which was totally namuksa, totally not attached to the ground, all of these situations, then Rabba would agree that you can do kisui adam, and therefore the two halachas are very similar. In both cases, if it's completely mutter, that's why, even though you should have done it before yontif, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it with the eved on yontif. The Chasam Sofer explains that why were Chazal lenient regarding that frosh's challah, and with kisui adam they were not. He says that normally, when you talk about challah, he says that really challah should not be also to be taken on yontif. The only reason they ask it challah is because it's similar to trumas and maisrus. And therefore, when we have a situation of simchas yontif, they were lenient, Chazal were lenient. However, the isser involved in kisui adam is an isser in itself, because as we learned and we'll continue learning, there's so many different issues that come up when we do kisui adam that are not simple, and therefore, if we didn't have to do it on yontif, that's why Chazal don't allow us to do it on yontif. Now, the Rishonim debate, and it's very much in line with what we're discussing. When Rav is telling us that if somebody prepared a dough from before yontif, we could take off and we didn't take off challah before yontif, he could take off challah on yontif, what does he mean? Does he only mean on challah from chutz laretz? Whereas we started the shir saying, our shir today saying, the challah chutz laretz is only the rabbanon? Or is it even the challah chutz yisrael, where there the chiv is a chiv deraisa? Tosfos' opinion is the rabbi was speaking about all types of challah, both challah chutz yisrael and challah chutz laretz. However, the opinion of the Rosh and the Baal HaMor is the rabbi was speaking only about challah chutz laretz. Because Chaz Chutzlaretz, and this is very much in line with what we just discussed, the whole Chiv on Chaz Chutzlaretz is only a Chiv the Rabbanon. And that's why, even though you should have taken off the challah before Yontif, Rabba is lenient. But when we're speaking about challah Etz Yisrael, we have no right to be lenient. Abi Avud Shmuel Amar, Afil Gigal Isa, Mayor of Yontif, he disagrees. And he says if you made a dough from Erev Yontif, ain't mafish chalos be Yontif. You can't take off the challah on Yontif. Because he says, and the reason is very simple, because since you could have done it before Yontif, we never have a heter of Simchas Yontif on something that we could have done before Yontif. And in fact, says the Mordechai, that according to this, not only will we not be allowed to remove the challah, according to Avud Shmuel, if we could have taken it off before Yontif, we were not going to be allowed to bake that dough. Because the halacha is that the only reason, of course, we're allowed to bake or cook on Yontif is L'tzarech Eichel Nefesh, that we're allowed to eat it. But here, this dough, we're not going to be allowed to eat. Since there's going to be in it the challah, which we're not allowed to eat, so we're not allowed to remove. So it turns out that this is going to be baking for something that can't be eaten on Yontif. And since it can't be eaten on Yontif, says the Mordechai that you wouldn't be allowed to bake it either. However, as we're going to see in the Gemara in a moment, we have to see if everybody would agree with that. Says the Gemara. So this machloikis, if somebody prepared a dough from before Yontif, and he didn't take off challah before Yontif, may take it off on Yontif, suggests the Gemara, Lema Beplukta Shmuel Avuad, represents a machlokes between Shmuel and his father. Dama Shmuel, challah is chutzlartz, challah that's removed from a dough in chutzlartz, which as we've been saying, is only a chi of the Rabbanan, and somebody forgot to remove the challah from the dough, and now it's Yontif. Says Shmuel, Oich v'hoylich, you could continue eating it, v'ach kach mafresh. That means, even though you the right way, the proper way of taking off challah, is by removing the challah from the dough and then eating it, or if it was already baked, taking off the challah and then eating the rest of the cooked bread. Here, the baked bread, here, since it's challah's chutzlaritz, you don't have to, you could be more lenient, and you could just take the challah by just eat the bread and then leave over a piece for challah. So since it doesn't involve any maisa hafrosha, it should be mutter to be done. The fact that Avud Shmuel did not allow for this heter obviously is an indication that Avud Shmuel does not agree. Amarava says the Gemara that Milay Maid Shmuel, that even Shmuel is agreeable. Shemkar Lashem. Sasur Lazorim, that if you designated challah, that it's considered also Lazorim, and therefore it's included in the Isser of being taking off on Yontif. So, in other words, the Mefarshim explained the Gemara. What the Gemara means to say is that since Shmuel is agreeable, that may not be done. So that's why we see that taking off challah is Asur. He only gave us a way out by eating and only taking off the challah later, but not that he would allow us to take challah off. So the Gemara is saying that Shmuel is being lenient on challah and on dough and that's in chutz laretz, that you forgot to take off challah, you could eat it that way, because by doing it that way, there is no Isser of Mesakin. But makes the Erev Tzvi a very important point. Even though we're being lenient with Chalas Chutz Laretz, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have Tevel. It of course has the din of Tevel. We just have a leniency in the way it could be removed. Because I saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Micha Shlomo, explains that there's a difference in the seriousness in the Chi of Challah in Eretz Yisrael and the Chi of Challah in Chutz Laretz, and that's why Chazal were lenient in how that frosha could be done b'diavad. Moreover, I saw that some explain that the reason such a method that Shmuel proposed works in Chutz Laaretz is because we rely on Breira. When we take off the challah Matzoy Shabbos, it's Hover Adavar L'Mafreya, it's retroactively designated that that was the challah. But we know, and we're going to be discussing it in our Masechta as well, that this concept of Breira, this concept of retroactive designation is not always applied. And what we're learning here is that sometimes we could rely on it, and sometimes we can't. And Chazal said that we could rely on it in, for Chalas Chutz Laaretz. There's also Machlokes Rishonim that when we follow this leniency that Shmuel just taught us, first of all, there's a Machlokes. Is there something that we could rely on L'chatchila or only B'dieved? That means if you discover that the bread that you want to eat on Shabbos Yontif, you forgot to take off challah, can you rely on Shmuel's approach, l'chatchila, or is Shmuel's approach only something to be relied on, but the Evid, you don't have any other bread to eat? Machloikis, where the base of Ephraim holds that you shouldn't, and there are others that disagree, and they say that the Bach says you can rely on this l'chatchila. And the other machloikis, Rishonim, is when we want to follow this advice that Shmuel gave us, is do we have to leave over a little bigger piece than just the amount that we have to take off for challah? So that on after Shabbos, when we're going to do the afrosha, is the halacha going to be that we have a ma'is afrosha? The definition of a ma'is afrosha is that we have a piece of dough, and we're taking part of the dough as the challah, and part of the dough we're going to be able to eat. But if all that we leave over is just the amount that we need for challah, so then we won't have a ma'is afrosha here. And really, that's connected to another machlokes Rishonim. Because one of the important halachas that we need to speak about when we speak about hilchis challah is that it has to be min ha-mukaf. That all the dough that we're using has to be next to each other. So if Matzoy Shabbos, after Yontem, we're going to do this ma'is afrosha, if we don't have a piece left over that's not going to be challah, then there's going to be no min ha-mukaf here. And the machloikas Rishonim of how much you have to leave over for doing Matzoy Shabbos is connected to how essential is the requirement that it be min ha-mukaf. If there's a requirement that it be min ha-mukaf, then you would have to leave over a larger piece. If there is no requirement of min ha-mukaf, then you wouldn't have to leave over such a large piece. So the reason, as I said, Shmuel was lenient, either, as we said, because Chalas Chutz Laaretz is the Rabbanan, or the other reason is because, as we said earlier, quoting the Rambam, Dor HaSameach says this. Dor HaSameach says that the concern is that the Rambam says that the reason you're not allowed to take Chalas Shabbos Yontov, it looks like you're being Magdish. And Chutz Laaretz, the concern for being Magdish obviously is less significant. There is no Beis HaMikdash. People usually were not Magdish on Chutz Laaretz. And therefore, there is no concern. There's an interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. What's the halacha if somebody realizes by his Seder that the matzah that he has to eat by the Seder, they did not take off challah from it? What can be done? And especially the question comes up in Eretz Yisrael, where, as we're learning, Shmuel's leniency is only in Chutz Laaretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. And the Paiskim say that under those circumstances, we should have, of course, this is a very big diyeved, a katan who's a mufla samach l'ish. We've learned that a katan, of course, is not mechuyav b'mitzvos. But on the other hand, once a katan is intelligent enough that he knows what he's saying, his statements have validity, he makes a neder. So we should have such a child of that age take off the challah, so his separation has halachic validity, but it really wasn't over in Issa D'Raisa because he's still a katan. And again, of course, this is not a heter that one would want to rely on l'chatchila. We're only speaking, as we're mentioning, in a situation where you discover that all your matzahs are challah have not been taken from them, and you of course need to eat matzah on the night of Pesach to mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of achilas matzah. In chutz laretz, we could do what Shmuel said, leave over from the matzahs, that should be yichala. Says the Mishnah, they used to take a ladder to take off the birds from the nest that they wanted to eat shecht and eat on yontif. Beshama Imrim Emalichim is assumed Mashuavik Shaivach. Beshama says we're not allowed to carry the ladder which is meant to be carried from nest to nest on yontif, because people are not going to realize, as we're going to learn the Gemara, that you're carrying the nest, you're carrying the ladder because you want to get the birds that you want to eat on yontif. They're going to assume that you're doing this because you want to use your ladder to do melach, which is asur on yontif. What you may do is just tilt the ladder from one nest to the next. Beisil matirim, beisil are completely lenient. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami machloikus b'shus rabim. The machloikus between Beisham beisil and b'shus rabim. The Beisham is savra roya oimel atiach gag hu tzaruch. Beisham is concerned that somebody sees me moving my ladder on yontif, saying, why am I moving my ladder? Because I want to work on building my roof. And the Achronim make a very interesting discussion. So what's the Isser with building a roof? One would say that the Isser is boina, building. But the Isser of building is a melacha that is mutav l'tzarech ha'echel nefesh. Because the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos taught us that in order to make cheese, we press the curds together. By pressing the curds together, that's the melacha boina, but it's mutter on yontif because it's oichal nefesh. I'm making cheese that I should be able to eat. And we know that the halacha is, we're going to learn it in our masechta actually, b'toich shehutru l'tzoruch, hutru namish loy l'tzoruch. Any melacha that's mutter for oichal nefesh becomes mutter even when it's not l'tzoruch oichal nefesh. If that's the case, so boina is not asur on yontif. So we're going to have to say that the melacha that is the concern here is memachik. When one fixes his roof, he smears the tar. And that's the samraisa of memachik. There's never a heta to do memachik on yontif. Beisil savri, the beisil says the ladder you're allowed to move your ladder because shayfchei machiach alav. It's obvious that I'm moving my ladder on yontif because I want to get the birds to be able to have birds to eat on yontif. If it's in Shus HaYochid, where people don't see what I'm doing in my private property, says the Gemara, the Reakum Mutter, everybody will agree it's Mutter. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Aini, Vam Rabbi Yehuda Maraf, Kamakum Sh'osr Chachamim B'nei Maris Ayin, wherever Chazal said something is Osr, because we're concerned for Maris Ayin, the Aloch is, Afil B'chadri Chadarim Osr. There is no Heter because I'm doing it in a private place. And the Ran gives two reasons why Maris Ayin is also b'chadrei adarim. One reason the Ran suggests is because if we do it be Rishus HaYochid, we're concerned that you may end up doing it in the Rishus HaRabim. And therefore Chazal say, don't even do it in a private place. The other explanation is because you think you're doing it in a place that nobody sees. But what may end up happening is that people will see. People will come into Yerushas Rabbim and Yerushas HaYochid and see what you're doing. The Mishnah Berura in Simon Shin Aleph Siv Kotten Siv Kuf Samachay has a different approach. His approach is that the reason it's also B'chadri Chadorim is because that's the way Chazal make the Gzeiras. When Chazal make a Gzeira, they make the gzeira under all circumstances. They don't start differentiating where here it's mutter and here it's asur. And if Chazal said you're not allowed to do something, you're not allowed to do it. And therefore the Gemara's question is most understandable. How can we say that it's mutter to do it? How can we say that there's a difference between Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim? Answers the Gemara that this issue that we now raised, that if Chazal said something is asur because Maris Ayin, is this applying all places, only Rishus HaRabim, is actually a machlokes tanon. The Tanya. We learned the Masechta Shabbos. If somebody's clothing got soaking wet on Shabbos. Shaitchen b'chama, and he needs to remove them and dry them. So the halacha is, he could take them off and put them out against the sun. V'avoloi k'neged am. But don't do it in a public place, because if people see my clothing drying in a public place, they're going to come to assume that I wash them on Shabbos. And of course, you're not allowed to wash clothing on Shabbos. Rebbe Elazar of Shimon Eisrim. They say, if it's Osir, it's Osir. So the Gemara is suggesting that this machloikis, this question of Maris Ayin, is actually a machloikis tanoim. Ikad Amri, Amar Chanan Bar Ami machloikis b'Rishus HaYochid. The machloikis strictly is in Rishus HaYochid, that Beis Shammai is going to be machmer, and Beis Shammai is going to hold, like Rav Yehuda Merav, that if it's also because Maris Ayin, not only is it also in Rosh Hashanah, but it's even also in Rosh Hashayachid, they say less like Rav Yehuda Merav, and therefore they will be lenient in Rosh Hashayachid. Av Rosh Hashanah, the Divrei Hakol Asur, in Rosh Hashanah, everybody's going to be machloi, everybody is going to agree we have to be machmer, because we have to be concerned in because of Maris Ayin. And I saw that the Toldos Yaakov, the Sefer Toldos Yaakov explains the machloikas between these two versions. The machloikas is based on the reading of a Mishnah. The Lishna Kama says, the Mishnah speaks about Eima Lichin, Loshin Rabbim, which is an indication that the machloikas is strictly in the Rishus Rabbim. The second Loshin says, Av Matehu. Matehu is a Loshin Yochid, which is an indication that the machloikas is strictly in Rishus HaYochid, but not in the Rishus HaRabbim. Ask the Gemara, but according to this explanation, according to this explanation, Rav, who says that everything that's also because Maris Ayin is even also Bechadri Chadorim, is following the opinion of Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel is going to be disagreeing. And the problem that the Gemara is actually means to ask is that Rav, who was the Gol Hador, Rav, who was the prominent Pesach of his time, it's hard to assume that Rav would have taken the position, that Rav would have followed a position that's only consistent with the opinion of Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, Matanoihi, this issue actually is a machloikus tanoim. To Danya, Shaitim b'cham avloik negram, you could put out the clothing privately, not publicly. Rav Elazar of Shimon Eisrim, that you may not put it out publicly. So what we have here is that Tanna Kamma is not consistent with Rav, and Beis Hillel is going to hold Machlokes Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel is going to be that Rav holds like Rav Elazar of Shimon, and since Rav holds like Rav Elazar of Shimon, Rav is going to hold that there's no nafkim between Rosh HaYochid and Rosh HaRabim. And they're going to hold that, and Rav is going to have to hold that Beis Hillel and our Mishnah that holds that you're allowed to move it is not concerned at all. In other words, the way Rav is going to interpret the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is not where is Beis Shammai machmer or where is Beis Hillel mekel. But the concern that our Mishnah introduced, that there's a concern that people who see me moving my ladder may think that I'm going to fix my roof, is a concern that Beis Hillel is not concerned about. If it's a concern that Beis Hillel is not concerned about, so then it doesn't make a difference between Shusarab and Shusarachid. And therefore, there's no connection to Maris Ayin. But as we speak about the halachas of Maris Ayin, it seems that there's a very big nafgamina between something which is also midaraisa versus something which is also midarabonan. The Ramah in Yeridei is Simon Pei Zayin Sif Gimel, discusses Cholav Shkedim. Cholav Shkedim is almond milk. Of course, almond milk is pariv. But the question is, if somebody eats almond milk with chicken, so people come and see me drinking a cup of milk with chicken, do we have to be worried that people, Maris Ayin, they're going to think I'm violating Basar B'Chalav? So Ramah says that by Basar Oif, by poultry, Since the Isser Abbas B'cholav by poultry is only an Isser D'Rabbanon, we need not be concerned. However, by Basar meat, by real meat, which Basar B'cholav there is an Isser D'Raisa, there we have to be concerned. And the halacha is that we could only have the Cholav Shkedim with real meat if we have Shkedim, we have almonds on the table, that's a simen, that this is Pariv, it's not real milk. So you see, the Ramah differentiates by when we speak about Maris Ayin between an Issa de Rabbanon and Issa de Raisa. But the Shach over there in Sifkot and Vav disagrees with Ramah. And he says that even by Basa Oif, even by poultry, we need to be concerned regarding Maris Ayin. But it's interesting to point out, very relevant to the discussion we just had in our Gemara. So the Shach is saying, and our Gemara is a raya to the opinion of the Shach, that when we are concerned about Maris Ayin, we're even concerned by a Drabonim. Says the Pesachei Tshuva that even though the Shach is taking this stricter view by Maris Ayin and as being Machmer, even by Nisa Drabonim, says the Pesachei Tshuva that by Basar Oif, the Shach will be agreeable that if we're eating it in the privacy of our home, not Barabim, and it's Basar Oif, so the Issa is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, we don't have to be worried about Maris Ayin. The issue that we just learned in our Gemara, is there a difference when we speak about Maris Ayin between the public and the private? Even the Shach and the Pesachei Tshuva agree there is, by D'Rabbanan, room for such a distinction. The reason why we have parv milk together with meat, and we have margarine on the table by meals where we serve meat, and there's no concern for Maris Ayin that people will think that we're eating butter together with meat, is because once a food becomes is well known to be parv, in the world we live in, margarine is a very popular food. In the world we live in, there is much non-dairy milk available. So since these are foods that are so popular, just because somebody sees on my table where I have meat, that I have margarine, where I have milk, that doesn't lead them immediately to believe that Chas v'Shalom, I'm violating Basar B'cholav. That's why the halacha is that we don't have to make Bizman Hazeh any heker. And so it turns out that it's a very interesting phenomenon. The first person who ate that, who had margarine at a meat meal, or had parv milk at a meat meal, had to make a heker. The heker, presumably, you have to put the label of the product on the table, and everybody should see it's margarine, which is parv, that it's non-dairy milk, which is parv. But as these foods became so popular and so well-known, the need for a heker was no longer there. Says our Gemara, Mashnison, that our Mishnah that says that Machlokes B'Sham V'Hillel have the B'Sham V'Hillel do disagree about moving a ladder, the Loikai Tana isn't consistent with the Tana we're about to learn. The Tanya Amar B'Shim Ben Lozer, Ma'idim B'Sham V'Hillel Shemelichnas Sulam Meshayvich L'Shayvich. Everybody agrees that we can move a ladder from one nest to another nest. Loinechleku their entire Machlokes El Lahachser. If we could bring it back to where we took it from originally. By Shama Imrim E Machsirim, we may not do so, because there's no Tzarech Yontif. By Shila Imrim Af Machsirim, because they hold that there's no Isser in moving such a ladder. And therefore, by Shila say, if there's no Isser, then we're allowed to do it on Yontif. And why not? Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, continues the Braisa, but Medvar Mamurim, where do we have this leniency that everybody agrees we're allowed to take it from one nest to another nest? And Beis Hillel is even lenient that we're allowed to bring it back, but Sulam Shoshoivach, where it's a ladder that's used for the birds, and since it's a ladder that's used for birds, it's noticeable, and therefore we have no reason to be Machmer. Aval Basulam Shalaliyah, where it's a ladder that's used to go up to the roof, Tivahakol Osir, everybody will agree that you can't move it from nest to nest. And not only will everybody agree that you can't move it from nest to nest, you can't certainly take it back. Because since it's a ladder that's used to fix your roof, even though that isn't what you're moving the ladder for, you're moving the ladder to get the birds. Still, people don't realize that, and people are going to think that you're doing the wrong thing on Yom Tov. Rav Dais Omer, Rav Dais says, another machlokes. Mateu mechaloyin lechaloyin. You're allowed to tilt the ladder from one nest to another nest. That not only are you allowed to tilt it, you can't carry it, but you can move it a little at a time. Says the Gemara, Bnei Rav Chiya, Nofugel Kriyasa. The Bnei Rav Chiya, whose names were Chizkiya and Yehuda, went out to the villages. They owned property near the villages, and they went to inspect their property. Kiyasa, when they came home, Omer Lanavun, their father asked them, you're Talmidei Chachamim. And certainly when you're out by these villages, people must have asked you shailas. Did anybody ask you any shail in these villages? Amrloi, Sulam Bali Adenu, a question about moving a ladder on Yontif was brought to us via Tarnua, and we were lenient. Amalhem, so when Rav Chiya heard that that's the way his children paskin, he told him, Tzuva Suma Shetartem. Go and retract. So ask the Gemara, what was the issue here? In Usav, Midakama Rabbi Yehuda, if we just learned Rabbi Yehuda said, Besulim Shalali Eloi Pligi, that Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no machloikus Beisham Beis Hillel by a Sulim Shalaliya, it seemed that they held that the Vechal the Tanakama Sav a Pligi, that the Tanakama does hold that even by a Sulim Shalaliya, there's a machloikus, and that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is going to be mekel, even not only by Sulam Shel Shuvach, even by not just by a ladder that's used for nest, but Beis Hillel is lenient even by a Sulam that's meant to be used for the roof. And therefore they felt that we passing like Beis Hillel, and we passing like the Tanakhama according to Beis Hillel, that and the Tanakhama is Reb Lozer of Shimon, and therefore they said you're allowed to move a Sulam Shaliyah. Says the Gemara V'loihi, but that was a misunderstanding. Rav Chiya said to his children, "Rav Yehuda tam de Tanakama kamafarish." Rav Yehuda is not coming to introduce a new opinion to differentiate between a sulam shel aliyah and a sulam shel shuvach. That he says that everybody agrees that a sulam shel aliyah may not be moved even beis halul. He was explaining that even that's the opinion of the Tanakama. He was qualifying the opinion of the Tanakama. If that's the case, no one allows the movement of a Sulam Shaliyah. If no one allows the movement of Sulam Shaliyah, the Bnei Rav Chiya that allowed these people to move the Sulam Shaliyah paskin incorrectly and had to be corrected. Says the Gemara, what pushed Rav Chiya to say that there is no machloikus and that all Rabbi Yehuda is doing is just explaining the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, explaining the opinion of Tanakama. Says the Gemara Midik Tani, the Tanakama, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Meloyachin es asolam shuvach l'shulach. He says, you're allowed to move it. V'isal kedatach basulam shaliyah pligi, if we're saying that he's discussing all types of ladders, and he's saying that according to Beis Hillel, all types of ladders may be moved, hi, Meloyachin es asolam shuvach why does it have to be speaking that's moved mishayvich l'shayvich? Melichem as a sulam l'shayvich mibayle. If we wanted to show that any ladder may be moved, so we just should say, we'll let him move the ladder to a nest. The fact that he said the language of melichem as a sulam mishayvich l'shayvich, alav hachikamer. This is what the Tanakhama meant to say. Shel shayvich in, only a ladder which is meant for nest may be moved. So that's why the Gemara is saying that's why Rav Chiya said no one allowed the movement of a sulam shaliyah. Go correct yourself. Vidach, but the Bnei Rav Chiya Talmidei Chachamim, how did they come to their conclusion? Miktani sulam shel shayvach. If the Tanakhama meant to only be lenient by a sulam that's meant for nest, he should have said the words sulam shel shayvach. The fact that he said mishayvach l'shayvach k'tani means afilu kam mishayvachim, and it means that every type of ladder may be used, and every type of ladder may be used to take to many different nests. And what's the chiddush that you're allowed to take to many less? Because we would think that we have to try to limit working on Yontif. Teaches us the Tanakhama, according to the Bnei Reb Chi's understanding of the Tanakhama, that the heter of Simchas Yontif, that we're allowed to get birds from a nest, is such a strong heter that we don't have the limitation of going to one nest. We have the halach is that we could go to many less. And I saw another pshat that we're going to many nests. People see that you're moving your ladder around so much. Maybe there we should certainly be concerned that you mean to work not just with your nest, you mean to repair things. Kamash Malon, that we don't have to have such a concern. Ikademri, but there's a different version of this episode between the Bnei Reb Chiya and their father. Ikademri, Amalei, Chiti Sulim Shaliyah Bol Yadenu. The question was, can one tilt a ladder that's meant for the roofs? And can we tilt it? V'tarnuo. And that we allowed. Amalei Tzuvi Esru Mashiach Tartem. That also is awesome. Says the Gemara, Inu Sover, May the Kosa Tanakama Kashar Reb Daisa. We learned, Reb Daisa says that you are allowed to tilt. And they assumed that who was Reb Daisa addressing? Reb Daisa was addressing the Tanakama. The Tanakama was speaking about the Sulam Shel Aliyah. And the Tanakama said that you're not allowed to move the Sulam Shel Aliyah. They understood that Reb Yehuda was explaining the opinion of the Tanakama, and therefore there is no question that the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda are only speaking about only allowing us to move a Sulam Shel Shuvach. A Sulam Shel Aliyah cannot be moved. But they thought that when Reb Daisa was saying that you could tilt it, he was speaking about the Sulam Shel Aliyah. But that's not correct. It's not that Reb Daisa was introducing a leniency. On the contrary, V'lohi ma'ide koshori Tanakama, also Reb Daisa. Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that you're allowed to move the ladder of a shayva from one to the next. Comes Reb Daisa to say you can't just move it in a regular fashion. The only thing you could do is tilt it, and that was their mistake. And the halacha, obviously, Reb Chiya and his sons held that the halacha is Reb Daisa. There was just a misunderstanding how to understand Reb Daisa's opinion. They held Reb Daisa was being lenient, and actually Reb Daisa was being machmer. We learned in the Mishnah Matei Mechalayin Lechalayin that Beis Shammai agrees that we could tilt it from one to the next. Beis Hillel Matayrim. Alma. So what do we see from our Mishnah? That when we have a question of Simchas Yontif, of moving the ladder, Beis Shammai is a machmer, and Beis Shammai is being very strict in how far and what we could do with this ladder. Beis Hillel Kula. V'rminu. So we go back to the first Mishnah that we began, the Masechta. We began the Masechta by teaching us Hashoch Behem V'chai V'oy P'yontif. And now we have the issue, as we discussed in our previous shurim, of Kisui Adam. B'shama Imrim Yach V'deka V'yichasa. B'shama Imrim Lo Yishkar Alam Ken Hoy Loi Uchim Ufim M'chai Join. So we see in that Mishnah, B'shama is the Mekel and Simchas Yontif, and B'shama are the Machmirim. And yet in our Mishnah we find that B'shama is the Machmer, and Beis Hillel is the Mekel. So how do we understand this? Says the Gemara, Amar of Yosef, Mechlefes Hashita. We have to reverse the opinions. So the way Rashi explains Mechlefes Hashita is Beis Shammai are going to be the ones that are lenient, and just like they were lenient in the first Mishnah, the Masechta, and Beis Hillel is going to be Machmer, just like they were. And Beis Hillel is going to be Machmer, just like they were Machmer in the first Mishnah of Aham Sechta. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says just the opposite. And Tosfos says that Beis Shammai is going to be the Machmer, just like in the first Mishnah, we're going to have to reverse their opinions. Beis Shammai is the Machmer, and Beis Hillel is the Mekel in that Mishnah, just like they were Mekel in the Mishnah we learned in today's Shir. Reason that Rashi doesn't learn like Tosfos is because the Mishnah Masechta Idyos lists all the places where Beis Shammai is the Mekel and Beis Hillel is the Machmer. Because usually Beis Shammai is the Machmer and Beis Hillel is the Mekel. And our Mishnah is one of those cases that's listed. Now, if Mechlefes Hashita and Beis Shammai is actually
the Machmer. So how is that Mishnah, Masechta Idyos, mentioned Beis Shammai, this one being the case where Beis Shammai is the Mekel? It must be, says Tosfos, that in all Mishnayos, Beis Shammai is the Mekel and Beis Hillel is the Machmer, not like Rashi learned. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Sheh, so how do we defend Tosfos Pshat? So the way to defend Tosfos Pshat, explained the Rishonim, is because we're going to explain that the Mishnah Masechta Idyos was before the Beis Shammai reversed their position. And that's when that Mishnah was taught. And there's a very common concept in Shas that once a Mishnah was taught, they kept it even though it no longer was halachically accurate. Because they learned the Mishnayos Baal Peh and they did not want to tamper the learning of the Mishnayos because they were concerned if they're going to tamper, it will be difficult for them to remember what they learned. Another approach that I saw the Rishonim say, Mechlef Sashita, doesn't mean that we know who switched opinions. We're going to have to say, because of these inconsistencies, somebody changed his opinion, but we're not quite certain who said what. Says the Gemara, why do we have to say this? The reason, as we learned in our previous year, Beis Shammai was lenient with Kisui Adam and Yontif is because there's a shovel there from before Yontif. And since there's a shovel there before Yontif, that's why there's no big Isser. Beis Shammai is not Mekel. And in that kind of Inami, and the Rishonim explained that Inami, that the Rashba says, Inami that we usually have at Shas is another teretz. Inami here is not another teretz. So we've explained the inconsistency of Beis Shammai. In the first Mishnah, Beis Shammai was Mekel, because we had a deck of notes, and we had all the explanations that we learned in our previous year why Beis Shammai doesn't see digging this earth involving a melacha. But now we have to understand the inconsistency of Beis Hillel. Why in our Mishnah Beis Hillel was lenient, and in that Mishnah he isn't. When I move the ladder, which is obviously the ladder that's used for the nest, it's obvious that that's what I'm moving it for, and I'm allowed to take birds on Yontif. Aval Hossam, there where don't have that het loy. And as the Rishonim explain, even though we learned in our previous year that it's a deck of knots and it's soft ground, but we learned all of that depends on many conditions coming together that it shouldn't evolve an Isser. And Beis Hillel says the likelihood and the concern that all of those conditions will not come together are very great. And therefore, I have to be Machmer. Here, where we don't have all of those concerns, I have every right to be Mekel, to be lenient.